Begin the current daf, Masech the Baba Basa, daf Kuf Mem Ches. Begin 7 lines down from the top of the Yavid, where the Gemara continues in a related discussion. Now, actually, there's two different primary interpretations in this Gemara and the Rishonim. What is the continuation of the theme? The Rashbam, who actually has to have a variant text of our Gemara, which the Bach brings down that text, his continuation and the question of the Gemara is primarily regarding the concept that we're discussing regarding Matna Shchimra, which is the topic of our previous Mishnah, which we differentiate between if he gives everything away or if he only gives partial of it away, which we're going to learn in the Amud Beis, that same concept, which if he gives everything away, if he ends up not dying, he gets it all back. However, if he saved something for himself, then obviously it's because he was thinking that he wants it to go through no matter what the situation is. Even if he gets healthy, he'll have some land. The rest is going to be given. So that's what the Gemara's question, according to the Rashbam, is related to, that if someone gives to one person a tree and to the other person the produce, the question was, if the tree was all that he had, and then if everything was given to that person of the tree, then if he would get healthy, he would get it back. But since he gave peiros to the other person, do we consider the peiros not only as fruits, but even as place of the fruits? So when he gave the first person the tree, he didn't give him everything, because he left over the place where the fruits sprout, which is still something that was left over. And therefore, the first person's matana was a matana not of everything. And therefore, when he gave it to the second person, that is something that was remaining left over. So the first person, even if he would get healthy, he would go ahead and get it. He would still maintain it, and the person who was the Shchimra would not get it back. And then the Gemara asks a different question, which is, and what's what if he says chutz, where then the word chutz is superfluous, which then the Gemara says, yes, that's obvious, then he is leaving over something by the first person, and then the Amad Eino Chazer. That's according to the Rashbam. We're going to explain the Gemara's question according to that of the Ri, which is according to the text of our Gemara, which is going back on a previous Gemara, but on a different concept regarding when, also regarding the halachas of Matna Shchimra, where a person says that, I want this person to live in this house, or I want this person to get the fruits of this tree. Said the Gemara, lo yomar klum, he hasn't said anything. Because like in the case of the fruits are davar shelo b'lo yomar, I'm not giving anything that's real to that person, unless you say, I'm giving him the tree for the fruits. But if you're just saying the fruits of the tree, that's not like you're giving him anything. And that's what the Gemara's question is. But let's say he says, dekala echad, I'm giving the fruit tree to this person, upei reisav la'achar, and the fruit should go to a different person. In that case, maha, what's halacha? What's the question? As the Gemara explains, Mishai or Mokim Peri, do we say that since when he was giving the first person the tree, he knew he was giving the fruits to someone else, so he actually left over for the second person the place where the fruits sprout? Or do we say, no, he did not leave it over? In other words, the question is, do we say that it's not considered like he left over an actual substance of something that you could touch and hold in the tree, a place of where the fruits sprout, that the fruits themselves that he's giving that person should not be considered davar shelo b'lo'olam? To the contrary, he gave him something that's already here, which is the place where the fruits are going to grow. Or do we say that no, that what he gave to the one who has the fruits is not only the fruits, he gave him the place even where it sprouts, and therefore he already merited the place where it sprouts, and therefore, again, the pears are not a davish lebel oilam, because he already merited something that was already here, and then just that gets bigger, which turns into a fruit. So that's the question, did he leave over him the place where the fruits grow, which is then he's already giving him something now, so it's a davish habal oilam, or did he not leave over him anything? No, he gave the whole tree to that first person. Second person is the fruits that come from that tree, which is a davish lebel oilam, and therefore he would not be zeiche in that, because you cannot be makna davish lebel oilam. That the Gemara asks, phase two. Imtim Sulaim Allah Loy Abashina, even if you're gonna say that regards to a different person, when this person is giving to one person the tree, and then to another person the fruits of the tree, for that other person we don't say like as if he left over a part of the tree which is where the fruits grow from that he's giving him right now, that it should be considered Bala Ilam. To the contrary, it's a Dabba Shalai Bala Ilam, and he won't get it. But the question is, what's with La'atzmoy? What's if, let's say, the one who's giving away the tree for himself, which the Bach takes out the next words, but that's the idea of chutz mi pereisav, but for himself he leaves over the fruits. Mahu, where would the halacha be? In other words, when he leaves over for himself, do we say that, well, here, a person would not go ahead and give over to the one who's receiving the gift of the tree itself, and that for himself it should be considered that the peiros that he wants to hold on to himself should be davar shelo b'lo'olam. To the contrary, he wants it to be something that is already here, or maybe do we say that even so, no, the peiros are davar shelo b'lo'olam, where he didn't leave over even the place of the fruits for himself, he gave everything to that person. That Amar Rav Nachman, he answers the question as follows. He says, "Im tim if you're going to say dekel echad peiris of la'achar, when he gives the tree to one person and the fruits to another person, loy havishayim mokem peiri, he did not leave over the place of the fruits itself, and therefore that other person will not get those fruits because he's being makna d'bishleib la'olam. He's not giving him even the place of the fruits themselves where they grow. It's just the fruits, which the fruits are not here yet." But dekel echad v'shay pereisam lefanav. But if he gave the tree to one person and he left the fruits over for himself, then shay mokim peri. Then he did leave over not just for himself the fruits, but even the place where the fruits grow. That part of the tree he's still holding on to for himself. My time. What's the reason for that discrepancy? It's because kol legabe nafshe, anything that applies to the person himself, meaning to the giver. But ayin yafim mishari leaves over with a generous eye, and therefore he wants to maintain it. Where the way he does that is by holding on to not just the rights for the fruits, but even the place of the fruits of the tree itself that he maintains for himself. Now, Amalei Reb Abba Rav Ashi says, "Anan ad Reb Shimon ben Lakish masnin la." This discussion, this question that you had, this iboiluhu, which regarding this, Rav Nachman had said that, "Oh, im timtza loymar," that it doesn't work with someone else, but for himself it would work. That we had the same type of a question, as the Gemara will explain, regarding the gift of a regular healthy person. That we had the same question in a different context on the halacha of Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Now, Tosafot points out, although Rav Lakish himself is talking about the person himself, so what would you say, like, oh, and if you're going to say, but regarding the self is different. However, as we'll see, that since we're talking about over here, chutz, that's what the Gemara's question is going to be, that this Rav Lakish has this halacha by almanaz, which is a stipulation. So that's obvious that in that case that he is leaving over for himself because it's a stipulation. But the question was regarding a case of when he says chutz, which is similar to the case we're discussing over here, when he says besides, meaning I'm selling you everything besides the fruits, did we say he's only holding on to the fruits or even the place of the fruits? So that's what we said, that regarding others, okay, that's a question, but regarding himself for sure, that will say the same thing in Rish Lakish's halacha. Which is the Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish said the following halacha. Says Amoicha Bais Lechaver. Someone sells a house to his friend. V'amalei, he tells him, "I'm selling you the house, but Amanah should you to Halyoy Nashali on the condition that the upper story, which is on top of the roof of the house, that is mine." So the halacha is, says Rav Lakish, "You to Halyoy Nashali." So he held on that he didn't sell that part. That upper story is his. Now, but as the Gemara continues, and this is where we're saying according to this version that this Ibayluhu and the Imtim Tzolayim is going on. On a similar parallel discussion, is ibayluhu. As you continue to mendbei, is ba'is la'echad. If a healthy person is giving a gift and he gives the house to one person, v'yuta la'echad mahu, and he gives the upper story to a different person, what's the halacha? So what's the question? Says the Gemara, mi hava, do we say that it is for the one who's getting the upper story that there's a shiur that it's being left over for him? In other words, he's not only getting the upper story, but there's, similar to the case we said regarding the fruits, he doesn't just get the fruits. Like we said, he gets even the place of where the fruits grow. Here also, do we say that he's giving him the upper story, he's also leaving over him a space in the courtyard, which generally the house gets the courtyard. But now that he's giving him, this guy, the upper story, he's not only getting the upper story, he's also getting a place in the courtyard, and the purpose for that is, well, he's upstairs in the upper roof, is so that he could stick out beams which will come over the airspace of the courtyard. Or do we say that no, the upper courtyard, the upper story, only gets the upper story, doesn't get also to share in the rights of the courtyard. Now that was the imtim tzolayma, and that's what we said, that the same resolution. Imtim tzolayma, if you're going to say, ba'is la'echad b'dyuta li'echad lo avashir, that if someone gives the house to one person, but he gives the upper story to another person, he doesn't leave over a space in the courtyard for the one who's getting the upper story. No, the one who has the house has the whole courtyard. The one who gets the upper story just gets the upper story. But then the question then extends, but chutz midyutimahu, what's the halacha if a guy says, I'm selling you the house except for the upper story, meaning that he leaves over for himself, where he says, explicitly says, look, I'm selling you this house except for the upper story. Meaning, and that's what we said, it's different than Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish is talking about amanas, on the condition. And that's what Tosis was explaining, when he says amanas, it was obvious to Rish Lakish that he's holding on. Question is, when he says the words chutz, which is, again, paralleling the previous sugya, where you say chutz, what's the halacha? Would we say chutz is also leaving over space for the owner of the house who sold the house, but holding on to the upper story, that he also has space in the courtyard because he says except? Or do we say that, no, even over there, it's not a shear, he's not leaving over anything for himself in the courtyard to be able to extend his beams into the courtyard? And that was Amarav Amrav Nachman, that imtim tzalay mabayis le'echad v'dyut le'echad le'abashir. Even if you're going to say, when someone gives a house to one person and gives the upper story to another person, it's not, he's not leaving over for the upper story person anything in the courtyard. But chutz midyut to have a shear. But if the one who's selling the house himself leaves over the upper story for himself, then he is also holding on to that. Not only could he get up the story, but he's also going to have the rights in the courtyard to extend his beams into that courtyard. Which, as the Gemara says, v'aliba d'Rav Zvid d'Amar, which this goes like Rav Zvid, who he says that because his halacha is based on the premise that when a person says unspecified, I'm selling you this house, that then the consumer does not automatically acquire the d'yut al yoyna, the upper story on top of the roof. As the Mishnah teaches in the Melechas Abayis and Samech Alef and Alef, that he has not sold the roof at a time when there is a fence, ten tfachim, around that, which is what the d'yut al yoyna is. So therefore, he anyways would have not gotten the upper story. So why is the seller saying, except that seems to be superfluous? Oh yeah, that superfluosity is coming to say that not only am I going to hold on to the roof itself, I'm also going to extend that and hold on to some of the area of the courtyard. For what purposes? Shemrat lahitzi bazizin, that if, because if he wants to stick out beams from that upper story into the courtyard of the lekeach, that mighty, then he could do that. So says the Gemara, Amma, you see from that halacha, Razvid, keeping the shayir duta, since he left over, he held on to the upper story, which anyways he would have had. So why is he saying chutz? Is that mokam zizin nami shayir usa gets hold on to the space of the beams themselves, which again is a parallel to the previous. Now, actually, these parentheses, as the Mefarshim explained, works well with the Rashbam, in contrast to the way we explain with Taisis, it's not the same concept. It's actually just parallel sugyas, but the way the Rashbam would say it is hachinami sehiroso, kiven the amar chutz min peresav, just like we say over here, when besides for the peres, is mokum perishayri. So the same idea is that not only is he selling, is he holding on to the fruits itself, but he's holding on to the space of where the fruits come from, where is part of the tree, which is even something right now, not just of the fruits, but even the space of where the fruits grow out from. Now the Gemara resumes discussing these halachas of matnas shchivmerah, the gifts of a dying person. So Amar of Yisrael ben Yumi, Amar of Nachman, he says, shchivmerah shekosav kol nechasav l'achem, a dying person who writes all his assets to other people. He gives it all away. Dying, I'm not holding on to anything. So says Rav Nachman, Ryan. So we see, it depends how he does this. In b'mechalik, if it's when he's dividing it all up, meaning from the first moment that he starts giving it out, his intention was to give it all away and not to hold on to anything. So then, if he's mace, if he passes away, sakanukulon. So then they all acquire what he gave them, which is like this halach of matna shchimra, the gifts of a dying person, where it doesn't need a kinyan if he dies. Which that was either, again, a biblical law or takan drabanan. But if Ahmad, but if he ends up getting up, he doesn't die, then chazer b'kulan. Then he gets to retract all of them and get it all back, because that assumption was only if he's going to die. If he's going to live, so he needs something to for himself. And he was, and obviously the premise was only if he's going to die. But in b'nimlach, but if we see that originally his intention was not to give it all away. Rather, he after he started dividing, he was silent. He didn't want to give anything more away. Then he went and nimlach, he changed his mind. He said, you know, I'm going to give away even the rest that's left over. So then, mace, if he passes away, so then kanukulan. So then they all acquire, because ultimately ended up giving it all away. And whatever the type of gift it was a valid gift, which especially the last ones, which was like matna shchimra. Amad, but if he ends up getting up, eino chayze el ba'achrin, says Rav Nachman, he could only retract the last gift that he had given, which at that point, he didn't leave over anything for himself. Well, if that's the case, that will then have the categorization of matna shchimra. But the first gifts, those people, before he changed his mind, when he was still holding on to some of that, those, as some Rishonim explained, where he gave those with a valid kinyan, they will be kaina, as our Mishnah said, because if he held on to some karka for himself, we consider it like a matnas bari, like a gift of a healthy person, because it's obviously not matna shchimra, because if it was, he would have given it all away. So therefore, in that situation, only the last ones, after he retracted and he started to give it all away, those ones he could back out. when he survives, but the first ones that he was going to hold on to, those they get to keep it even if he survives. Now, that the Gemara asked, but let us be concerned, Vidilma, but maybe this, that he was silent and he had paused between when he was starting to give away and he didn't give it all away, and then he decided to give the rest away, maybe he didn't change his mind. Rather, maybe he was just contemplating what he should give to every single person. These are gifts of great magnitude and maybe of great proportion. And then ultimately he ended up giving. But maybe in the beginning his intention was to give it all away. And maybe he didn't intend to go ahead and retract. So therefore then the question of the Gemara is, maybe when he does survive, he should be able to retract from all of them. Why did we say that the first gifts are going to receive even if he survives? So that the Gemara says, because Stami Dishchimra made the Daik. No, generally we could assume that a dying person, first he thinks about it. He knows his time is coming, and he contemplates what should he give that person, everybody, before they even come in front of him. V'hadiyav, and then they're there, he's ready, he gives it all away. And therefore he should not have been silent between these gifts and those gifts. From the fact that he was silent, obviously he was pausing because he thought that maybe that's all I'm going to give, and then when he decided to give the rest, he changed his mind. So the first ones were Matnas Bari, so to speak, and the last ones were the Matnas Shchimrathas. Those are the ones he could retract, but the first ones, even if he survives, he cannot retract. Another teaching from Amar of Achbam and Yumi Amar of Nachman, from Rav Nachman, also on this topic, a dying person who writes away all his properties to other people, meaning all the properties, all the assets that we know that he has, that we know of, we don't know of anything else that he held on to himself, and Va'amar, and he survives. Interestingly, says Rav Nachman, he cannot retract. But didn't we say that then if he gives it all away, he gets it back? Says Rav Nachman, we're concerned that maybe he has assets somewhere else that we don't know of, and therefore he may be held on to, and therefore we cannot take it away from the other person who already received the gift, and the person gets it and he doesn't get it back. Now that the Gemara asks, So then the halacha, the Mishnah, said that if he didn't leave over to any land for himself and he survives, so he said, then his gift is not valid and he gets it back. How is that ever going to be? Maybe he has land somewhere else that we don't know of, which Rav Nachman is saying, then he doesn't get it back if he survives. So Amar Rav Chama, he says, no, but it would be talking about where he says, all my properties. In other words, the case of a Mishnah would not be talking about that he's dividing up his fields and his vineyards, and he gives to every person a certain gift. Rather, he writes this terminology. He writes, all my properties I'm giving to that person and that person. Wherever they are, they're given away as a gift to that person or to those people, and therefore we know for sure there's nothing left over because he wrote all my properties. So therefore, no matter what there is anywhere, it was already given away. That's the case of when if he didn't leave over, if he gets up, it's going to go back to him. But if he only said that's to this person, when we think it's everything that he has, we don't know his portfolio, and therefore, if he's Ahmad, it's Nachayza. Another interpretation, Mabar Avashi, I mean, he says, B'muchzik l'onda lesle, our Mishnah would be talking about where we know, we have a presumption that we know that he doesn't have any more assets. So since we are muchzik, we know that he doesn't have, we don't suspect that he does have. But in the general case where we don't know, then we do suspect, and then he doesn't get it back. Now, continuing on this theme, the Gemara says, Ibailuhu, that the following question. A Shchimra, a dying person who writes all his properties, all his assets to one person. Now, but then, Chazara b'miktzas, he has a partial retraction, meaning he then subsequently, after he gave it all the way to this one person, he then gives to a different person. Now, in Halacha, he's allowed to do that. As the Gemara says, what's called daitiki mevatelis daitiki, which means to say that since this is not a full-fledged gift, it's a matna shchimra, he, until he dies, could change his mind and retract. So he could give it to someone else. Now, but he didn't totally retract. He gave everything to one person, then he gave only part of what he has to the second person. The question is hava chazar bekula? Is that a retraction in the entirety of all the assets that he gave to the first person? Where, in other words, he's revealing his intention that he regrets what he gave to the first person and he's taking it all the way from the first person? And therefore what comes out, so what he gave to the second person is what's called a matana b'miktzas. He only gave him a partial gift of his assets, meaning that he is leaving over some of it for himself because he took it all away from the first person now and only giving some of it to the second person. So that's what's called shear. He's leaving over something for himself. And therefore, Even if he survives, the second person will get it because it's a partial gift. He didn't give everything away. And then the inheritors, even if he dies, will come and take it away, what's left over from the first person, the excess, because he's not getting anything. Or maybe that we say, no, it's not a total retraction from the first person. Rather, whatever he decided to take off and give to the second person, that the second person gets. But whatever's left over, the first person does get. And therefore, if he does survive, both of them are going to have to give it back to him because he didn't leave over anything for himself. He gave it all away. He gave part of it to the second person. Whatever is not that he didn't give to the second person, he gave it to the first person. That's the Gemara's question. Says the Gemara, Tashmal is being arrived from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Kulon l'rishayin, if by a matna shchimra, the gift of a dying person, he gives it all away to the first person. And then, same case, miktas l'sheni, he gives some of it to a second person, meaning he retracted on part of what he gave to the first person. Says the Braisa, sheni kana. So the second one acquires what was given to him. Either way, it doesn't make a difference if the person ends up dying or ends up surviving. And the reason for that is because this gift of a dying person to the second person was a matana b'miktzas, a partial gift, which, as we said, that's going to be a valid gift in all situations because he's leaving over the rest of those assets which he had given to the first person, which, as the Gemara is proving that part, which he's not giving it at the end to the first person, and the second one is only giving part of it, so he's holding on for himself. So the second one will acquire, and rishon loikana. And the reason why the second one will acquire, no matter what the situation is, because actually the first one does not acquire. He doesn't get anything. So says the Gemara to prove our question, my love, Bishamais, isn't this talking about where the Shchimra ended up dying? So, and yet we see that the first person does not acquire, obviously because the retraction that he had partially to the second person was a total retraction of the first person. Now the reason the proof for this is because if it was not a full retraction, then actually both the first and the second person should acquire the assets when this person dies in everything, because he gave him whatever's left over. Well, he gave the second person whatever he gave, and he gave the first one whatever's left over, and therefore when he dies, they should get it. Obviously, you see that it was a total retraction, and therefore when he dies, the second person gets and the first person does not get. Says the Gemara, no. Truthfully, I could tell you that what he gave to the second person is not a total retraction of what he gave to the first person. But the Bryce is discussing a case, Bisha'amad, when the guy ended up surviving. Now, that's why the second person will acquire, because as we said, it's a partial gift that he gave to the second person, because he didn't give everything to him, only partial, that he can't retract, as we taught in the Mishnah, even if he ends up surviving. But regarding the first person, that he had given him everything without leaving over anything, then, as we said in our Mishnah, if he ends up surviving, so then it goes back to the Shchimra who didn't end up dying. Now, actually, the Gemara later is going to ask that it still doesn't work out. Because if you're saying it's talking about a case where he survives, then both of them should not acquire, even the second person, because since you're saying that a partial retraction is not a total retraction on everything he gave to the first person, so it comes out that even regarding the second person, the dying person did not hold on to anything, because he didn't retract from what he gave to the first person, only what he had accepted and given to the second person. And therefore, between the two of them, he gave everything away and he didn't hold on to anything himself. So actually, from here, the Gemara will ultimately conclude that a chazar b'miktzas, a partial retraction from what he had given to the first one and to give to the second one, is a total retraction. And that's why the Gemara will conclude whether the person ends up dying or surviving, the second person will acquire, because he ended up retracting totally from the first person, and therefore what he had left over, which he had originally given to the first person, that he had retracted. And therefore, he only gave a partial gift to the second person, and he held on to the rest for himself. And that's why a matana b'miktzas, we know, is a shma matana, even if he ends up surviving. But for now, the Gemara has refuted the proof and said, no, we're talking about where, yeah, if he would die, then they would both get it, because it's not a total retraction. He would talk about where he survived. Where he survived, the first person, he had originally given it all away, so when he survives, he gets it back. But the second person, since it's a matana b'miktzas, he gets to keep it. And that the Gemara actually wants to support the Gemara's refutation by saying, Hachanam Mistabra. It's actually logical to say that this Bryce is talking about a case of when the Shchimra ended up surviving. Because Miktani Sefer, from the parallel of the Sefer of that Bryce. Because the Bryce there says the other way around. Miktasin Larishan, let's say the Shchimra had given part of his assets to the first person. Then he retracted and he gave a kul on the Shein. He ended up giving all of it to the second person. Says the Bryce, Larishan Kana. So the first person actually will acquire, because when he gave it to the first person, he had left over something for himself, which that's, again, as we said, a matana b'mikta, is a partial gift, which, as our Mishnah teaches, if the dying person held on to something, it's going to be a gift even if he survives. Sheini loikana. However, the second person will not acquire at all, because when he gave it to him, he didn't leave over anything for himself, and therefore if he ends up surviving, and that's what the Gemara is going to prove, that's talking about a case when he survived, then it's going to come back to the Shechimra, as the Gemara proves. So, if you say the Bryce is talking about a case of when the guy survives, he ends up getting up from the illness. So, that's why we could understand why the second person will not acquire it, as we taught in the Mishnah. If Lo Yishayer Karka Kol, we said in the Mishnah, if the guy, the Shechimra, did not keep anything for himself, so then the gift is not a valid gift. But if you would be saying that as you originally wanted to use to prove your raya that chazar b'miktas is the shema chazara, that's not a case where the person ended up dying. Well, then taver likni. Then in the case of the seifa, then both of the first and the second people should acquire his assets like a matna shchimra, where they do acquire after he dies if he didn't leave over anything for himself, and it's only if he survives that ends up going back to him. Now, because if it would be considered a matana b'miktas, so then whether if he dies or whether he ends up getting up, so that's considered a full-fledged gift. So obviously, says the Gemara, you can see from the Sefer that it's talking about a case of when he survives. So says the Gemara, from the fact that the Sefer is talking about a case when he survives, so the Reish is also talking about a case when he survives, and therefore it's not a raya to what you wanted to prove of chazar b'miktas shma chazar, because it's not talking about a case where he dies. It's talking about, maybe if he dies, yeah, maybe it's not a total retraction, and the second one will get what he got, and the first one will get the rest. But it's talking about a case where he survives. And still the Gemara says no. Amalei of Yirmi l'Ravashi. V'tahavinami, it could even be that the Reish is talking about, as you're proving from the Sefer, Bisha Amad. Yeah, it's talking about where the Shechimra ended up surviving. And even so, says the Gemara, you could resolve that our question that Chazar b'miktas a partial retraction from when he gave everything to the first person and then he gave only some of it to the second person is a total retraction of the first person. Why? Because as follows. If you say that a partial retraction is a total retraction from the first person, so we alluded to this previously from the Rashbam, that would make sense why the second person at least would acquire, because there's something left over, even though he's surviving, there's something left over that from the essence of the Shechimra, because he entirely retracted from what he gave to the first person, and the first person is not getting anything. So the second person was only getting a partial gift because the Shechimra is holding on to the rest. But if you're going to say that a partial gift is not a partial retraction, is not a total retraction, rather whatever he gave to the second person, he gave, and the rest remains with the first person. But if that's the case, then actually both of them should not acquire it. Why? Because Nahavikim Mechalik. Then this should be a case of when he's dividing, you don't have to give it to one person, when he's dividing between both of them all his assets, and he's not leaving over for himself anything, because he's only giving the second person what he's retracting, and whatever he didn't goes to the first person. Ulechad minayu leiliknu, and therefore neither one of them should acquire. Rather, so concludes the Gemara, behelchas adalacha is, chazar b'miktas have a chazar b'kula. A partial retraction, meaning when he'd given everything to the first person, and then he retracted, gave only part of it to the second person, yeah, the second person is going to get only part, but the first person doesn't get anything. And then the Gemara concludes and explains. So what comes out is, Reisha Meshkachasla, the Reisha of that Braisa, we could explain the halacha, that the first person will get nothing, and the second person will get whatever the partial gift that he was given, Bein Shemeis, Bein Sha'amad, whether if the Shechimra ends up dying or surviving, the second one's going to acquire, because as we said, either way, he retracted what he had given to the first person, and he had left over a lot for himself. So the first person is not going to acquire because he retracted from him. And even if the Shechimra ends up dying, the first person is not going to get it because, as we said, Daitiki Mevatel is Daitiki. He could retract. So who cares if when he retracted from the first person that he gave it to the second person, or if he retracted and he held on to him for himself and his inheritance, doesn't make a difference. He retracted. So the first person doesn't get anything either way, whether he survives or if he dies. And the second person can get also either way, because if he dies, so that was the gift they had given him. And even if he survives, since he held on to something for himself, then it's a matana b'miktas, even a shchimra, it is going to be a valid matana. Whereas the seifa, yeah, that as the Gemara had proved, l'mishkachas la'ilka sha'amad, that is only a possible halacha if he ends up surviving, and that is why the first person is going to acquire, because as we said, he only gave him a partial gift, and he had left over. Whereas the second person is not going to acquire, why? Because since if he survived, and he had left over nothing for himself, So that's since he didn't leave over, if a Shchimra survives, then that has to be given back. Because if the Sefer would be told about a case where the Shchimra ended up dying, then actually both of them should acquire. The first person of what the little had given, and the second person who had given everything else to, so that's the Matna Shchimra, so even if he didn't leave over, if he dies, it should be gotten. Obviously, the Sefer is talking about where he survives, and therefore the second person is not going to get anything. Now, Ibailu, the following question. Up until now, we were talking about a dying person who gave it all away to people. But now the question is, a dying person that hikdish kol nechasav, he sanctified all his properties without leaving over anything for himself. And then vo amad, then he ends up getting up from his illness. So ma, what's the halacha? Do we say that he could retract, it's going to go back to him? Meaning, just like when he gives over to a person, the assumption was, I'm only giving away because I'm dying. But if he ends up surviving, it'll go back to him, so to by hekdish. Or do we say that no, actually, a gift for a hekdish is more stringent than a gift to a common person? Why? Because mi amrinu do we say, kolagabi hekdish gamar makni. When it comes to sanctifying things to Hashem, to hekdish, a person concludes with a whole heart, whether I'm going to survive, whether I'm going to die, I'm giving it all away to Hashem. Aydimo, or maybe no. Anything that applies to the person himself, he's not going to give it all away, and therefore we could assume that it was only if he's going to die. If he survives, it should go back to him. Then the Gemara says, and if you're going to say that regarding Hekdish, yeah, a person will be Makdish it all away, even if he survives, what's with a similar type of a case? Hifker kol nechasav ma, what's the halacha if he declared all his assets ownerless? I'm dying, whoever wants could come and take it. Do we say there also his intent is for heaven's sake, and therefore he was totally makne to whoever's going to come and merit it? Or do we say no? Another interpretation is that since he was mafker all his money, so he totally removed it from his consciousness, and he doesn't want to go and have it given back to him, because he doesn't want to have benefit from it anymore. It's not mine anymore. It was the people's money. As the Gemara explains, mi amrin do we say, kivin de afla niim kashim, since he was giving it to also to the poor, just as well as to the wealthy, so gamar makne, so he concluded he was giving it away to the people. It's like L'shem Shemayim. Or do we say that no, anything that pertains to the person himself, he thought he was going to die, and that's why he gave it all away. But if he survives, he would want it back. Continues the Gemara, and even if you're going to say regarding Hefker, that he's not concerned with this money, because since he made it ownerless, so and he wasn't particular to give it away to people that he likes, it's something that he gave away. But, what's halacha if he gave it all away to paupers? What's the question? Explains the Gemara. Mi amrina tzedakah vadei migmar gamar makni. Do we say, regarding charity, for sure a person intended to give it away in all circumstances? In other words, do we say that the recipient as paupers is the same as recipient as hektish, and therefore if he survives, it does not go back to him? Or maybe do we say that no, anything that pertains to the self, that now that he's not going to die, he did not conclusively want to give it away, and therefore if he survives, he would get it back? Says the Gemara, take or let it stand, there's no answer for those questions. Which, Lashon Acher, there's a different version which just says the questions in short is Hikdash kol nechasav ma, what's halacha if he was makdash all his assets? Hifker kol nechasav ma, what's halacha if he declared them ownerless? Chilek kol nechasav anima, what's halacha if he divided all of them amongst the paupers? Take or let it stand, it's not clear what the answer is going to be. Now, Amrav Sheshes, he says the related halacha regarding this topic, that if a dying person says, Yitol, let that person take from in my assets. Or he says, v'yiske, let him merit. Or v'yachzik, let him take possession. Or v'yikne, let him acquire. Kulon losh matonahin, they are all terminologies of gifting, and therefore the recipient will acquire, because as we established in the previous daf, there has to be a terminology of gifting. Whereas we said that if he says, let that person dwell in this house, he hasn't said anything until he says, give him something, or let him take something, or acquire something. So all these terminologies, however, will all be terminologies that are valid terminologies. And moreover, b'mesnitatan, in the Brisa we learned, that af yachsin b'yaris, also terminology of inheritance, will also work if it's b'ro l'yarsha, if it's by people that are fit to inherit. In other words, for example, if let's say he's giving matnash chimra, that he's choosing one son out of all the other sons. So based on the primary inheritance, they all have to share it. But here he's giving it all to one son, which since the son is fit to inherit, even if he gives it to him with the terminology of inheritance, will also work, which as the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechim and Bereki, meaning that this would be going like the pin of Rabbi Yechim and Bereki that we brought on Kof Lamed Ben Aleph, that says that you could choose one son out of all the other sons in the terminology of Yerusha, and that would be valid, as the Gemara says, and as we paskin Allah like him. Now, however, Ibailu, what the Gemara does have a question is, as we continue to talk about Kof Mem Tesem and Aleph, is what's if he says, Yehenaben? Let's say he says, let him have benefit, pleasure in them. Now, what's the halacha? What's the question? So the Gemara explains. Is he saying that I want him to benefit from all my stuff? It means I want it to be a gift for him? Or maybe he's saying that, no, I want him to have pleasure partially from it, to have benefit from it, but not that I'm giving it all away. So to Yeroh Behenma, what's if he says, I want him to be seen in it? Is that saying because I want him to own it, or just that he should have some benefit from it? Yamed Behenma, that he should stand in it, what's the halacha? Yishoin Behenma, what's if he says that I want him to be supported or lean on this? Does that mean to say because I want to give it to him? Or does that mean that I just want him to have some benefit? Says the Gemara, take a little sense, it's not clear if those would be valid terminologies of gifting to be valid as a matnas chivmera or not.